content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Jen Rogers for the North Carolina Reading Service. And this is all about pets. For the next half hour, I shall be reading to you from PsychologyToday.com, Catster.com, and Dogster Magazine. On today's program, I'll begin with an article from PsychologyToday.com by Mark Travers, PhD. Two life-changing benefits of adopting pets. Pet ownership can be transformative, and you can also make it convenient. Pet ownership is booming. A recent survey conducted by American Pet Products Association revealed that close to 90 million U.S. households now own pets. This means there are now more households in the U.S. that own pets that don't. The growing acceptance of pet ownership can be attributed in part to the maturation of the pet industry. Today, a number of innovative businesses are dedicated to making pet ownership easier, even for individuals with busy lifestyles, like online pet supply stores and in-house veterinary services. With this context, here are two ways a pet can help you safeguard your mental health. One, taking care of a pet can instill a sense of purpose, which is crucial to well-being. Most people think well-being has to do with happiness and the absence of physical and mental illness. However, a 2020 paper published in the journal Health and Quality of Life Outcomes analyzed data from 21 countries and found that well-being is rooted in various factors, including having a sense of purpose in life. This is where a pet can help. A 2018 study that qualitatively and quantitatively analyzed the effects of pet ownership on people living with a mental health condition found that participants who reported losing their sense of purpose following their diagnosis felt significantly more in control of the direction of their lives after they brought a pet home. Some even went as far as saying that their pet gave them a reason to live. Research has shown repeatedly that pets have the potential to increase feelings of social support, give owners a sense of meaning, and improve their lifestyles by increasing physical activity and adding structure to daily routines. Pets are also particularly effective in treating and managing conditions such as depression, anxiety, post-traumatic stress disorder, and dementia, as evidenced by a 2022 study published in Frontiers in Aging Neuroscience, claiming that owning a pet can reduce one's brain age up to 15 years. Then there's the question of which type of pet most benefits humans in terms of mental health. Here's what Zach Mills of The Vets, a veterinary care service focused on reducing stress and anxiety associated with owning a pet by delivering pet care directly to clients' homes, said when asked about the types of animals that can buffer our mental and emotional health. The human-animal bond can extend to any number of animals, and different animals and different people will have different responses. There are also people who identify with one species of animal more than the other. The individual results that people can get vary. Most of the studies around the benefits of the human-animal bond are done on cats, dogs, and horses. But any animal and human can potentially build a beneficial bond. This highlights the profound impact of the human-animal bond. It is no wonder that healthcare professionals often recommend pet ownership. In fact, 22% of current pet owners received such recommendations, according to the Human-Animal Bond Research Institute. Number two, your pet can help you exercise and stay active, a proven strategy to improve mental health. There are aspects of owning a pet that will require you to step outside your home. For instance, most breeds of dogs need outdoor exercise to be healthy. Often, people will see an increased level of physical activity when they own pets, and this activity can lead to overall improved physical and psychological health, explains Mills. A 2023 umbrella review of 97 systematic reviews with meta-analyses revealed that exercise may be up to 1.5 times more effective in reducing symptoms of common mental health conditions compared to traditional methods of treatment. The lead author of the review, Ben Singh of the University of South Australia, explained, "We have found that doing 150 minutes each week of various types of physical activity, such as brisk walking, lifting weights, and yoga, significantly reduces depression, anxiety, and psychological distress compared to usual care such as medications. Before getting a pet to improve your mental health via exercise, confirm that your exercise needs and those of your soon-to-be pet are in alignment. While most dogs need regular walks to be healthy, there are differences in how much exercise different breeds can tolerate. Often the best way to tackle mental health problems is to prepare traditional treatment practices, medication or therapy, with unconventional methods like pet ownership. While pet ownership has positive psychological benefits, it cannot be seen as an alternative to clinical treatment that may be necessary to address a specific mental health condition. A more wholesome approach to the treatment that includes pet ownership may be the most effective and rewarding for a patient. Next, we'll move on to Catster.com, an article in Lifestyle titled No More Summer Blues by Steve Dale. Swat down these five seasonal hazards to keep kitty safe. Hot fun in the summertime sounds cool, but it can be dangerous, and that's especially true for cats with outdoor privileges. While the topic of exclusively indoors versus indoor-outdoors is about as divisive as today's politics, there are some basic facts when it comes to cats' summer safety. Burning summer heat. Heat stroke is caused when the internal body temperature rises too much. While it's more common in dogs, it's an absolute fallacy to think that it hardly ever happens to cats because they rarely exert themselves in the heat. Cats are only able to sweat through their foot pads. This is a very small area of the body, so it's not a very effective cooling mechanism. To increase their ability to lose heat, they often lick themselves, applying saliva to their coat. The good news is that cats are pretty adept at finding their own cool spaces. While dogs routinely pant to keep cool, panting in cats may be a sign of overheating. Other indications for concern are foaming at the mouth, drooling, or even just an unwillingness to move. But it's a cat, so often an unwillingness to move might be a daily occurrence. Just as when there is no air conditioning, we appreciate fans, so do cats. Just make sure a kitty can't stick a paw into it. Overweight or obese and geriatric cats are particularly susceptible to heat stroke, as are breeds with lots and lots of hair. Flat face or brachycephalic cat breeds are particularly prone to heat stroke. Persian, exotic short hair, Himalayan, and Burmese breeds have shortened airways, which literally makes breathing difficult. In hot weather, these cats struggle. Always ensure that your cat has plenty of access to fresh water, although some cats might be hesitant to drink even though they're hot. Put several bowls of water throughout the house or try a pet fountain to entice your cat to drink. Praying animals. Coyotes rarely ring doorbells asking to be let inside to devour indoor cats. They usually wander into neighborhoods looking for easy food sources and, in the heat of summer, water, making a cat easy prey. Even catching a rat or mouse can have consequences. The cat may attack, but more formidable rodents can fight and bite back. Even if the rat loses in battle, the cat can lose too as a result of multiple bites, which can cause an infection or even disease transmission. Cats can also be poisoned by eating rodents that have ingested rat poison. Climbing up a tree. Whether the cat scampers up a tree after a bird or a squirrel or just for fun, cats rarely plan in advance for the climb down. So what do you do about those cats up in a tree? Call the fire department? Unless you get Sarah, the Mayberry operator, you're likely to hear a bemused operator ask, "You're kidding, right?" Even if you are somehow able to convince emergency personnel to respond, there may be a fee. Barney Fife won't rescue the cat. The best advice, be patient. Veterinary ER clinics rarely report treating cats who have fallen from trees. Emergency rooms do treat people who have fallen trying to rescue feline friends. Entice kitty with tuna, sardines, or salmon at the base of the tree, waiting for hunger to overcome fear. Escaping through a window. Cats love viewing the world from a high vantage point, often looking out a window, watching and batting at passing butterflies and birds. An unsecured screen window or no screen window can lead to a dive down many stories, which is called high-rise syndrome. It's possible for a cat to survive at a velocity of 60 miles per hour, according to a study published in the Journal of American Veterinary Medical Association, of 132 cats who fell an average of 5.5 stories. Of those cats followed in the study, 90% survived, albeit many required significant medical attention. That's from 5.5 stories, but from 20 floors up, cats are unlikely to survive. While cats do have an innate ability to acrobatically right themselves in midair, for most cats, that's a real challenge. Elderly cats often lose their ability to accomplish this athletic exploit, and overweight or obese cats have a difficult time physically righting themselves. According to the Association for Pet Obesity Prevention, that's about 60% of all cats. Even when cats are able to land on all fours, there's another problem. It's called gravity. Landing on all fours can offer some protection, but broken legs and ribs aren't uncommon. It's true that as they fall, their legs stop the fall, but their heads keep going, and as their jaw slams to the ground, broken jaws are not uncommon. Biting parasites and pests. With warmer weather, parasites flourish, and even indoor-only cats require protection. Many cats whose caretakers call indoors only do have access to backyards or catios outside. While you may be able to keep foxes or coyotes away, keeping parasites at bay requires protection suggested by a veterinary professional. Even in a high-rise, an unprotected dog belonging to a neighbor can saunter by, and a flea falls off and enters your condo or apartment, and it's common for humans to unknowingly bring a flea home. Fleas are not only gross, but they can spread disease such as Bartonellosis, which can cause cat scratch disease in humans. Fleas also cause tapeworms, for which your cat will need to be treated. Heartworm is spread by mosquitoes, and who doesn't occasionally find one indoors? In cats, there is no treatment for heartworm disease. Some cats may suffer a kind of asthma-like condition called heartworm-associated respiratory disease, which is not so easy and not so inexpensive to treat. Other cats with heartworm can suddenly die. When there are mosquitoes, there's heartworm. While cats aren't affected by as many tick diseases as dogs or humans, and also may likely to quickly groom the buggers off before disease transmission, there's hardly a fail-safe preventative. Cytozoonosis, or bobcat fever, is often deadly, and if a cat does survive the treatment, the process isn't cheap. The bottom line, summer days might be beautiful, but it's easier and safer for cats to stay indoors. Even for indoor cats, offer shady spots and plenty of water that's easy to access. With the right precautions and preventatives, you and your cat can enjoy a safe summer season. We'll finish up the catster portion of the program with an article titled New Cat Allergy Treatment by Jackie Brown. Cat lovers who suffer from cat allergies sometimes pursue immunotherapy, also called allergy shots, to reduce their symptoms so they can live comfortably with a feline companion. But immunotherapy can take years to work, and it isn't successful for everyone. A new study published in the Journal of Allergy and Clinical Immunology explored a new treatment method combining immunotherapy with tezepelumab, a monoclonal antibody, a lab-created protein that binds to antigens of certain cells, essentially neutralizing them. At the end of the 52-week study, subjects who received tezepelumab and allergy shots had significantly reduced nasal symptoms compared to those who only received allergy shots. Now we'll move on to Dogster magazine and move to the section Training and Behavior Unleashed. And we'll read an article today titled Seven Ways to Build Trust by Jill Breitner. In order to build trust with your dog, you must be trustworthy. That means you are consistent and therefore predictable. You are kind and understand that your dog has emotion and expresses them through behavior. You are aware of your own emotions and behavior while interacting with her. Looking to build trust with your own dog and show her you have her back? Follow these steps. 1. Learn body language. Observation is key to learning how to read your dog's body language, and this helps you understand her better. Noticing an atypical or unfamiliar behavior is a cue that your dog is trying to tell you something. Is she in pain, feeling fearful, anxious about something in her immediate environment, confused by what you're asking? Instead of getting frustrated, ask yourself what's going on. Why is she acting this way? When you stop and ask questions, you're better equipped to help your dog either by managing the environment, going to a veterinarian, or stopping playing with another dog that may be causing the behavior. By doing this, you show your dog that you have her back. Learning dog body language is required to accurately interpret her behavior. This safeguards her welfare and helps minimize development of anxiety-related behavioral issues. 2. Be consistent. Consistency offers your dog predictability, which fosters trust. Routine is one way to be consistent. I don't mean same time, same place. I mean training, feeding, play, and walks happen daily, but not necessarily at an exact time. When your dog can depend on you to care for her physically, mentally, and emotionally, it helps her to feel safe. Make sure your interactions with your dog are consistent in the manner of how you approach her. Talk to her, teach her, play with her, etc. Again, this gives her a sense of safety and security. She can trust you to be compassionate and kind in your interactions, so she doesn't have to be worried or surprised that you might yell at her, forget to feed her, or put her in a situation that may cause her anxiety. 3. Raise your awareness. If you ever asked your dog to do something and she stopped and looked at you instead, some people may think the dog is being defiant, but let's look at this through a different lens. You have just had a lovely time playing with your dog, but then realize you're late for an appointment. You tell your dog, come, in a hurried way, and she doesn't. She just looks at you. Normally, your dog comes right along with you, but this time, she freezes. If you get mad because she didn't respond to your abrupt way of being, you break her trust. Instead, you are aware of who you're being, a person irritated and in a hurry. You will see that she's confused with the abruptness of your tone when stopping play. Seeing a situation through your dog's perspective helps you realize how you're acting. Take a minute to gather yourself. Lower your energy, soften your tone, relax your body language. This alone lets your dog know all is well and she'll happily come along with you. Don't underestimate her innate ability to pay attention to your every move. 4. Use positive reinforcement. We've come a long way in understanding dogs and the ethology of dogs. We know that their behaviors are a manifestation of their emotions. With this understanding, we know that punishment isn't the way to help them with their emotions. The science is there. Punishment doesn't offer relief. It only makes a dog shut down. With punishment, she quickly learns that you aren't trustworthy because you didn't help her feel safe. You punished her instead. Offering safety, because you understand she's expressing some kind of emotion, tells her you're trying to understand that she's experiencing some anxiety and you have her back. 5. Provide safety and security. Creating a safe environment inside and outside the home happens when you understand that each dog is an individual with her own feelings and needs, and you do your best to meet those needs. I often see parents living with multiple dogs and lumping them all into everything they do. They fail to realize that one dog may not feel safe walking with another dog, eating too close to the other dogs, being left alone in the same room with all the dogs, or preferring to stay home rather than go on outings. Being aware of the individual needs of dogs goes a long way to build trust. 6. Be patient. Dogs are not robots, and not all dogs want or need what you think is important. Whether you are training, playing, or walking, be aware of your own level of patience or lack thereof. You are your dog's whole world, and she looks forward to being with you, interacting with you, and learning together. If you have an agenda, you are not thinking about her or her desires and needs in the moment. This can easily deplete your trust account. Having patience means allowing your dog to process not only her environment, but also what you're asking of her. Don't rush. Give your dog a chance to participate, or not, at her pace. Consent is critical in all aspects of being with dogs. 7. Give your dog agency. Offering agency gives dogs a sense of freedom to choose. Given that everything they do, going potty, eating, sleeping, exercising, playing, learning, etc., happens on our terms, allowing them choice/agency to participate or not. You can only know your dog's wishes if you pay attention to what she's saying. Allow her to feel emotions and process them. This gives her the opportunity to develop healthy coping skills because she feels safe in the moment. When a dog feels she has an exit or a way out of a situation, she feels safer. Feeling safer builds trust. Securing trust. The foundation of our relationship with dogs begins with their trust that we will provide a safe and secure environment. Dr. Kathy Murphy, owner of Barking Brains, puts it this way. Essentially, trust is a prediction. I trust you to have my back equals I predict you will always have my back. Trust is essential for social species. Otherwise, we waste so much brain energy preparing to deal with all the possible outcomes on our own. And she should know. Dr. Murphy is a neuroscientist who specializes in brain development in respect to behaviors and their success, or lack thereof, of training methods in different life stages. We often only think of trust when it comes to how to get scared, abused, or traumatized dogs to trust us. But there's only one obvious aspect of the concept of trust. Trust is established when the dog feels safe to be a dog, do what dogs do, when they can communicate, feel understood, and heard. When we know how to read dog body language, we can see when a dog is stressed, frightened, shut down, or overexcited. Only then can we help them by offering safety and security in the moment. We can do this by allowing them to process their emotions while accepting their behavior as an expression of an emotion, then offer them relief. Andrew Hale, a certified dog behaviorist in the UK, has brought so much to the dog community about his continued conversation about dog-centered care, an approach that shines a light on the emotions of dogs and how we can help them. He says trust cannot be bought, forced, or artificially created. It is an organic process that builds and does so quickly when one feels safe. Building trust in our dogs is not a simple task. It is our responsibility to take it seriously. When we affirm that dogs are our best friends, we must allow them to be vulnerable, therefore feel safe with us, thereby setting a solid foundation of trust. Nothing compares to the deeply shared gazes we experience with our dogs when we offer them the safety and security to be a dog. And a side article is, don't deplete your trust account. Trust isn't only broken by abuse or neglect. It can be subtler and more nuanced. It often gives a notice by the pet parent, but not by the dog. When my Rottweiler, Leela, became ill, she showed signs of pain way before the illness became glaringly apparent to me. She was almost 2 years old, robust and strong, yet she no longer wanted to get in my van. At first, I thought this was because it was hot after being closed up in the sun. Then I paid closer attention to her behavior. She kind of thought about it, navigating how she could make the leap into the van, which was telling. Previously, she flew into the van, often leaping over the two steps to get in. Her sudden reluctance went on for a few days, while I continued to observe her in every other area of life. Entering the van seemed to be the only place I saw hesitancy. I often see people get mad at their dogs when they don't just hop into the car in a timely manner. They continue to be frustrated as the dog is trying to process how to hop in. Pain in dogs that goes unnoticed is one way we deplete our trust account. Even if we don't get upset with them in the moment, they're trying to tell us something and we are missing it. Next, we'll move on to some fun articles in the Unleash section. The first one by Jessica Peralta titled, Turn Up the Music. Do dogs like music? It's a tricky question to answer because there is no proven way to determine whether a dog is actually enjoying music. Studies have shown positive responses in behavior and body language, but this is something that is going to vary dog to dog, says dog behavior expert and VCA Animal Hospital's vet tech, Allie Creighton. Just like people, dogs have preferences too. Derek Garrett, founder and CEO of Zounds Music for Pets, is more certain. Of course they do, he says, but it must be the right music. While dogs don't necessarily respond to specific genres of music, they do respond to specific parameters within a song, including tempo, chord progression, and instrumentation, Derek says. Some classical music and subgenres contain all the calming parameters for dog relaxation, but these can technically fall under any genre or subgenre of music. Empirical data has shown that dogs have a preference for classical and, interestingly enough, reggae music, Allie says. What does a preference look like? One study evaluated dogs' heart rates in response to different types of music. Fetch that playlist. Relaxing music for dogs may help with stressful situations or anxious dogs. Music can absolutely affect dogs' behavior, Allie says. Response and preference to music will vary from dog to dog. Common responses include relaxation and, in some cases, a decrease in anxiety. Each song in the Zounds Music for Pets repertoire is tested to calm dogs in stressful environments or circumstances, including shelters, veterinary hospitals, and boarding and daycare facilities, Derek explains. A quick search will show that online playlists like Calming Music for Dogs or Dog Music can work. A lot of these playlists will consist of soft classical music, Allie says. As long as your dog is not displaying a negative reaction to the music, anxiety, fear, etc., feel free to try them out, she says. Some pet parents may also wonder if there's music to help dogs sleep. Derek says no. Within the species-specific music parameters, there is some flexibility to lower the music tempo to a rate that could lead to your dog sleeping, he says. Still, I would not venture to say there is a specific music for dogs to sleep to. Whether it's a stressful situation or a training session, the right kind of music may help be able to help your dog relax. Experiment with different types of music in different situations to see if it helps calm your dog. Be careful when playing music too loud. Allie says, dogs can be sensitive to extremely loud volumes, so be sure to practice common sense volume safety just as you would for yourself. Train with tunes. Music can be used for training sessions. For example, dog behavior expert Allie Creighton says if you're training your dog to go lie down on her bed and calm down, play music during this training exercise. Eventually, in conjunction with the learned command, your dog can begin to associate the music with the desired behavior, she says. Additionally, playing music for your dog can be a form of enrichment, as long as your dog is not showing a negative response to music playing. Then we'll move on to an article by Cindy Howell called, Can Dogs Laugh? Although we could swear our dogs have a good belly laugh while at tug of war, actual dog laughs have not been specifically identified by animal behaviorists as other vocalizations like growls and whines have, according to vet behaviorist Dr. Sally J. Foote. Dogs can make short panting ha-ha sounds and grunting as they play with toys or with other dogs while enjoying themselves. They are having fun, so you could think of it as a laugh in this situation. Otherwise, it may be that they need to pant and have something in their mouth making the grunt noise, Dr. Foote says. Austrian zoologist and founder of modern ethology, Dr. Conrad Lorenz, believes that dogs express smiles and laughter-like behaviors in play. In the book Man Meets Dog, he describes how dogs laugh based on his observations, a mouth stretched from ear to ear followed by excited panting. Sense the humor. Could laughter-like sounds mean our fur friends have a sense of humor? Our dogs know what gets them attention and will mix play with mischief, Dr. Foote says. They also will play tricks on each other or get dogs or cats to play. There is no proof, but I do think dogs have a sense of humor. Give us a smile. Smiling is easier to see in some breeds like the Golden Retriever. Dr. Foote describes a smile as the lips are drawn back with a relaxed face. The upper teeth are covered. Many dog breeds will smile as their head is massaged or during petting. Be careful it's not a snarl, she cautions, when the upper teeth are showing and the forehead is wrinkled. While pinpointing laughter in dogs is problematic, there's little doubt they have fun and can find things funny. It just might flash a grin. We've run out of time for today's episode of All About Pets. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Jen Rogers, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. All About Pets is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.